It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That they've ever done. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls coming up here shortly. But we are going to pivot away from the Cavs, from the Browns, from all of it. Spend some time talking a little college football. We got the first semifinal going on as we speak. Penn State, Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. Notre Dame was on the brink of scoring and ended up having to punt. So still a 0-0 ball game in that one with Penn State backed up at the one. But tomorrow night is the one we're all really waiting for as the Buckeyes take on the Texas Longhorns for a chance to go to the national championship game. Could the redemption story continue for Ryan Day? We talk about it now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline with our good friend, our colleague, Brendan Gulick, who covers the Buckeyes, of course, for Ohio State Buckeyes on SI. Brendan, how you holding up, my man? And are you glad that you're not having to deal with Dallas weather right now? Because it seems like it's crazy.
Man, it's the most bittersweet thing ever, right? I mean, you're fired up. You're going to the semifinal. Life is good. You got a Buckeyes team that looks like they are just on a mission, and the only way to, you know, get around them is to hopefully have a different draw where you don't play them. And, you know, looking forward to watching a game tomorrow against Texas and then check the forecast earlier this week. I mean, I realize that a lot of people went anyways, but, you know, I pulled the plug on going to Dallas because 10 years ago I used to live in Oklahoma, and I will never forget this. You know, this is like total culture shock for me, but, you know, we had less than 2 inches of snow in the little town I lived in, and the town shut down for 5 days. I was like, what are we doing? And, you know, they're calling for 8 to 12 inches of snow in Dallas. I'm like, it's going to be the apocalypse. Why do I want to go down
there? I can imagine you, like, people you met out there when you lived in Oklahoma, and you're, like, talking to them, and they're like, hey, man, like, you might want to stay home. Like, there's, like, inches of snow coming, and you're just eating your lunch, and you're like, what? Like, what are we talking about here? Like,
I think we can handle it.
I drove to work and, like, feet of snow. Like, what are we doing? Like, it seems like such a benign thing for all of us here that, like, you know, a couple inches of snow or a foot of snow. Like, we hear that. We, like, get out of bed and get dressed. Like, they hear that, and they're like, no, don't leave the house.
No, I mean, there were literally over 1,000 flights today canceled on the way into DFW. Every flight from Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton was all canceled. I was supposed to go yesterday, so I would have gotten there without a problem. I wasn't worried about that. Yeah. My thought became, like, for everybody that didn't have a flight back this way Thursday and Friday, if my flight home on Saturday got backed up, like, I'd have gotten stuck there for 3 days. So, yeah, I just, you know, it stinks to not be there in person, but we'll cover it from home.
I keep having this thought in my head where, like, the one thing I think that worries me about this Texas team is the fact that at any moment it feels like their offense could just, like, figure it out and click. Similarly to how Ohio State kind of figured out and clicked for the start of the playoff. Now, that hasn't been the case for a while with them. Their offense seems to hit these lulls during the games. And so, in theory, like, that should bode well for Ohio State. But I do think of the three teams or the four teams left, this is the one that can match Ohio State closest for, like, talent for talent. Am I right in that fear, Brendan, or is there something else that you're maybe a little more concerned with when it comes to Texas?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I understand where your head's at with that. I seem to be, like, on an island. I don't think this game's going to be that close.
Mm.
I think Ohio State's going to kind of pound Texas. I don't think Texas is as tough as some people are making them out to be. And don't get me wrong, like, from a raw talent perspective, they're very good. Quinn Ewers is a solid quarterback. They've got a really big offensive line. They got two good running backs. You know, Golden's a good receiver. They got Helm, who's a good tight end. Like, they can make some plays. They really struggled in a lot of instances in those two losses to Georgia. They were sacked 11 times in those games. And I just look at the way Ohio State's defense is playing right now. I mean, look, Sark is probably one of the three or four best in the country in terms of drawing up openings, like scripted opening drive, opening couple drives. So I do think there's a chance Texas looks okay early on. But Ohio State's got the best team in the country. Like, anybody that's watching the games looks at them and says, that's the team to beat. Like, whatever the record is, whatever their name and number is, and whatever, like, I don't expect them to play the way they did against Michigan. And if they do, they could very well lose this game. But watching the way Ohio State has come out and executed against Tennessee and against Oregon, I don't get the impression that the Buckeyes are going to have a tough time tomorrow night. I just don't.
You know what's interesting about the Michigan thing? Like, I've been saying this to people this week. Like, people have brought up, like, and I brought this up with Tennessee a little bit, where it was like, well, hey, like, they can watch that Michigan game and there's a blueprint out there. But once we saw how Ohio State played in that game and how they're playing now, it's pretty obvious, like, that's not something anybody can replicate. Like, Michigan has this crazy advantage in the fact that they just are in Ryan Day and this Buckeye team. They get in their head. And so, and they play a style of football that they shouldn't play. Like, unless Texas comes out with the Wolverine, you know, helmet and painted white, maybe they keep the same colors, but they have like the Wolverine logo on their helmet. That's the only way that Ohio State psychs themselves out and then plays into what Texas's strength is. So I'm with you. Like that might have been at the start of the playoff, like what people thought was a way to beat them. But I think they've learned from that, and I don't think anybody can replicate that because it's just a Michigan thing. It goes back to that being a problem for this team, but it's not something that's replicable.
No, I mean, Ohio State, again, I'm not trying to, like, take it away from Michigan.
No.
Ohio State beat themselves by having a dumb game plan. It's pride. They wanted to prove to everybody that they could be tougher and they could break Michigan's will and we're going to run between the tackles. It was like, what are you doing? Michigan's best defensive player is not on the field, and their next two best defensive players are in the middle of their defensive line. Go do something else. And when they've played Tennessee and they played Oregon, instead of running to set up the pass, what a shocker, they've used their, you know, quartet of NFL receivers led by the best receiver in the country, who's a freshman, and protected Will Howard well, and they've thrown to set up the run. And I just, I don't know, man. I mean, especially if they get an early score, I think we could see a copy-paste from these last couple games. I really do.
At Brendan Gulick 22 on X, he covers the Buckeyes, of course, for the Ohio State Buckeyes on SI. Brendan, there was a story written by Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports about this idea that Ryan Day maybe, you know, rides off into the sunset and leaves Ohio State in the dust, no matter what happens from here after the playoff, just as kind of a stick-it-to-the-man type thing. Do you envision a situation where that actually would happen and Ryan Day would leave?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's more likely that Ryan Day leaves Ohio State on his own accord than it is Ryan Day gets fired at Ohio State. But it would have to be some like absolute, you know, lifelong dream or whatever for him to leave, because listen, the Michigan thing is obviously frustrating. If they go out and win a national championship, he's going to take a lot of the pressure off. It's not going to be gone, because that's the deal at Ohio State. You got to win the rivalry game. Yeah. But I mean, there's, where's he going to go that's a better gig, unless he doesn't want to deal with recruiting and like doesn't want to be the guy at Ohio State anymore? He's one of the most well-paid coaches in college football history. The guy's going to make nine figures coaching football, and he's working with a staff of guys who he's really close with. Justin Fry, Chip Kelly, those are Ryan Day's guys, and Jim Knowles has come in and done a terrific job. Brian Hartline is an outstanding Buckeye. I don't know where Ryan Day would go on his own accord unless he decides, I'm done. I don't want to recruit. I don't want to deal with the, you know, NIL stuff. I think Ryan likes Ohio State, and I think all of the noise around that stuff is a distraction. I'm sure the NFL would be interested in him.
Yeah.
I saw Dan Orlovsky today say that the Cowboys could be interested in Ryan. I'm sure he'll field phone calls, but I just don't see him leaving.
It's kind of ironic that the Cowboys are interested and he's playing in their stadium tomorrow.
That's true.
Along the lines of Ryan Day, though, do you think he's done enough already with the two wins he's had so far in the playoff to sort of take the pressure off himself and I guess, like, break bread with fans where now, like, no matter what happens from here, they'll be, you know, okay? Or does he really have to finish this thing off and win it all for that to sort of be the case?
It's funny. I was going to say yes so fast until you said break bread with fans.
you get what I mean, though. Like,
fans going to look past it? No,
because the narrative has changed these last couple weeks. Like, he's won the big games, and fans are now talking about, like, man, maybe Ryan Day can win this whole thing, and they've stopped with, like, the he's got to be fired narrative, and it's now more like, okay, like, let's see. So I'm just curious, like, what it's going to take for them to, like, be in a good place when this thing ends. Has he done enough already, or does he need to win it all?
I mean, I think because it's almost the catch-22 of because of the way they have, like, eviscerated Tennessee and Oregon, that the expectation is you've looked that good. You've got an expensive roster that's a bunch of veteran guys that you've paid to keep around. Go win the whole thing, and they're very capable of doing it. So it would be extremely disappointing if he doesn't. I almost think about it like when Kirby Smart hadn't won a national title at Georgia yet. It's like, how many times you got to recruit the top class in the country and have all the things in the world you need to get it done without getting it done before you, you know, are asked to step aside? And I guess the answer to that specific question for me is, yeah, you probably would need to win it. But I have not talked to a single person as an Ohio State fan who has said, you know what, I think Ryan Day should be fired. He's lost 4 in a row to Michigan. I have not talked to one person. I've read it on the internet. I have not talked to a person that tells me Ryan Day should be fired.
So along the lines of the fans and the reaction to things, do you think fans are ready should Ohio State win it all? Do you think they're sort of ready to accept that, yeah, the Michigan game still matters, but winning a national championship is the grand prize. Like, it's the bigger deal. Because I think it's going to – we get so many people calling into the station, as you know, Brendan, to call in and say, like, no, if you don't beat Michigan, like, the season's a farce, it doesn't matter. Like, that's the only thing that matters. And I always say they're a little bit hyperbolic because, I mean, the national championship is what everybody's chasing. That should be the end thing. But do you think Ohio State fans are ready to accept that as kind of this new reality that we live in?
I don't know. But I do know that, you know, going into that game against Tennessee, when ESPN did some of those sit-downs, you know, for the telecast ahead of time. I don't remember if it was, you know, which reporter it was, but there were conversations with Ryan and maybe even with Ross Bjork around the game, the playoff, this, that, the other. Obviously, the last time they had played was the Michigan game. And it felt noticeably different that they were acknowledging we can't, you know, ignore the fact that we've lost this game, but like we gotta put a little more emphasis on the playoff here. And it almost just felt like this de-escalation a little bit, where for a long time, I don't know if it was an urban thing or what, but like Ohio State has been so straightforward. We have three goals: beat Michigan, win the Big Ten championship, win the national championship in the college football playoff. And you know, they say them in that order because that's chronological, not necessarily order of importance. I feel like maybe they're backing off of that just a little bit. It's almost like they're trying to take some of the heat off themselves because they've been, you know, applying it internally. Those are their standards, and they've been so, you know, verbal about it. So I don't know how fans will react, but I think if Ohio State is willing to just go all in on, look, we're trying to win a college football playoff, we're here to win national championships, and absolutely we got to beat Michigan along the way. If they acknowledge it that way, maybe some of the vitriol dies down a little bit.
A couple final questions here for you, Brendan. First and foremost, back to tomorrow's game specifically. Do you think we see Arch Manning at all in the matchup, especially knowing, like, if they fall behind, Sark might just have to kind of throw everything out there on the table?
I actually do expect to see him in some small capacity. I'd be a little surprised if he doesn't play, but I don't think he's going to have a massive role. If nothing else, it's it's a really talented young kid that, like, gives Ohio State something else they got to focus on and just something else to think about. You know, his game and Quinn's game are a little different from each other. They're not wildly different, but they're a little bit different. So if nothing else, I think he plays a little just to give Ohio State a different look. But I anticipate that as long as Quinn is, you know, healthy and fine, that he's going to be in there the vast majority of the
snaps. Yeah, it's been a fascinating story to follow this year. It's just like Sark's real commitment to Quinn and not really making that change except for the one game when he did it. So, yeah, I'd be interested if they use the Arch Manning package, though, and I do think that's something that could give Ohio State a little bit of trouble because those running quarterbacks sometimes do. Final thought for you here. I'm sure you got the Notre Dame-Penn State game on tonight, sort of getting a teaser of what could be. Which of these two teams do you think would be the biggest challenge to the Buckeyes? I think we both agree, like, neither of these teams' offenses are quite on par with the Buckeyes the way they're playing right now, but which one do you think would be the most challenging?
I mean, I think it would be a little harder game against Notre Dame, assuming that everybody's, you know, all healthy and all things, you know, being equal. The Penn State game was a big hurdle for Ohio State the last time. You know, the last 7 minutes of the game, they broke Penn State's will and ran the clock out. I realized that on the scoreboard it was a reasonably close game, but, you know, Ohio State, by the end of that 60 minutes, was pretty obviously the team that outlasted them better. And if nothing else, man, I think Penn State's got this, like, mental block right now. They can't seem to beat Ohio State, even when they're playing tough. Notre Dame's a good football team, and, you know, whether or not they're healthy in the backfield is going to be a big question for them. I don't see either one of those teams beating the Buckeyes. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think Ohio State is a heavy favorite in my mind to win the national title. But I guess I would rather play Penn State than Notre Dame.
I can always find something to be nervous about, Brendan. And if it was Penn State, it would be you got to beat a team twice, which is never easy.
Yeah. Georgia beat Texas twice.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, and I also just can't picture Ryan Day losing to James Franklin. Of all of Ryan Day's crimes, that's the one thing he doesn't ever do. He will never lose to James Franklin. So, yeah, we'll see.
I don't know, man. I just – anybody that watches Ohio State this year, you know, you're always nervous because you feel like you're waiting for something bad to happen. But the way this team is playing right now, veteran group, healthy, on a mission – killing teams in the playoffs, I actually don't have the same, like, butterflies that I would normally have. I'm really optimistic. I'm telling you, I think Ohio State's going to win this game convincingly tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I see this game being like 38-13 going into the final few minutes, and maybe Texas scores like a late touchdown or something to make it look a little tighter. But I think Ohio State is going to beat up the Longhorns pretty good. Texas is a good football team. They got a huge offensive line. They're quick. They're really athletic. They got a bunch of guys on defense that are going to go to the NFL. But I love the way Ohio State has schemed this thing up in the postseason. I feel for it.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Brendan Gulick, covers the Buckeyes for Ohio State Buckeyes on SI. You can follow him on X at BrendanGulick22. Brendan, we always appreciate your time, your insight into this. I'm sure we'll be texting a little bit tomorrow during the game.
Can't wait, man. Sounds good.
Take it easy, man. Thank you.
You too.
Good stuff from our friend Brendan Gulick here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We step aside as we talk about what Brendan had to say and also have Ohio State fans come to terms with this. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.